And there's just a few things that I'd like to say, and that is that I didn't really get a chance to say anything last week, but you know how beautiful everything here in our church looks. And we just so many have been involved in making this look so nice, and we just want to tell you thank you. And I'd just like to give a big hand clap to everybody, right? Give a big hand clap. We praise the Lord. We praise the Lord for it. I know that from the men to the ladies, and just say thank you on behalf of everybody. And then I want to say also, I want to just make note of what took place last Sunday down at English Park. You know, I want to thank Tristan and Mike and Renee, Brother Audie and Sid. Boy, it was awful cold, but they went down there and set tables up, you know, at the pavilion, and gave away, you know, coats and such and other things. And you know, it was a real good ministry. I'd love to see more of that type of thing go on. I really would like to see more of that going on. And Brother Audie discovered something. And that is a need for, I call them a camp coffee pot. You know the old timey coffee pot that you put on the stove? So if you want to bring coffee pots of the old timey kind that goes on a stove, all right, along with coats, just keep on doing it. Then bring those coffee pots, all right? Because they said that they could use those on their little camp stoves. And we never even thought about that. You want to say something?
Also, they said thermals.
Thermal underwear?
And
yeah, right. It was real good. It was real good. We want to do more of it. We want to do more of it. We really do. And reaching out in such ways as this. Bring in the coats. The boxes are there, right? Bring in the coats. As I said, the long underwear, the coffee pots, right? You know. I don't know if you. I guess you could throw a bag of coffee in there, right? If you wanted to as well, right? And so that we'll see that gets down there to them in this time. Gloves, socks, just things like that. Bring it in. Bring it in. Yes, sir. Sleeping bags, yeah, that was one of the items right there. Anyway, so there we are, and bring them in. I would just make this short. You know, we were down there just a short time. You know, I wimped out real quick, okay? You know, but they were doing a great job, and it was really wonderful. But anyway, it was so funny because I got down there, and then the first thing I noticed, this guy's got my coat on, right? He's got my coat on. So I just told him, I just talked to him. I said, "What that? I got that coat in Wyoming. Now I want to tell you, that's a warm coat right now. You know, that's a warm coat." And he said, "Yeah, that's a real warm coat, you know." And I talked to him for a little bit. Well, then I was able to lay hands on him, pray for him, right? The man that had my coat on. And then I looked around, and then there was another man right there, and I looked at him real good. And I thought to myself, doggone, that's my tie. You know, because I know my ties, okay? So anyway, I knew, they said, that's my tie, you know? And I didn't put it back here, but I had taken some to Goodwill at one point. So I'm talking to him a little bit and such, and I finally said to him, I said, "Man, that's a sharp tie you got on right there." And so he turned it over, and then I knew it was mine, you know? So I got to lay hands and pray for him too. So I don't know. That's pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty good. I just thank God for that. Just that opportunity, whatever that would be right there. But anyway, I thought that was very fascinating and very interesting. So praise the name of the Lord. All right, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 right here. We're going to begin looking at a little bit here that has to do with the building blocks of Christian living. The building blocks of Christian living. You know, we just got through looking at a series. It's called The Intercessor's Playbook. I have a lot more that I want to do there in that. I will return to that probably in a different mode and a different way. You know, but I'll just recap on that for just a minute. You know, we looked at number one, we looked at the high and lofty things that had to do with intercessory prayer. And that was the visionary way. And I'm going to talk more about that, and that I want you to know the Holy Spirit wants to bring more visionary way into your life than you ever dreamed. You know, you don't have to be a prophet. You don't have to be the pastor or any other thing. You know, it's a part of what we've received in Jesus, and I'll talk more about that. But even if I spoke things that maybe you're not really familiar with, but you're going to get familiar with them. You got to open your heart and become familiar with them, and then the Lord will bless you in them. And then the other thing, and then last Sunday, you know, was the 10 rules that intercessors live by. That was more of a practical type of application and message. But anyway, so we're going to move on right now. We're going to move into this. I don't know how many of these messages that I will have along this way, but what we're looking at is really is very fundamental to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you can live either two ways. You can live in God's way and live a nice, healthy, have a healthy, what we're going to call a healthy Christian life. Or, you know, you can live one that's not really healthy, right? You can live a Christian life that's not very healthy, apart from all of the other dangers that come along with not really living a Christian life that is healthy before the Lord. There is a way for us to go. There is a way for us to go. You know, and that's why the Word is so important to us. That's why the Word is so important to us. That's why the church body is so important to us. You know, so many people, they see the Christian life as, you know, get saved and you just keep on doing what you want to do. You know, now, you know, I'm a better person and whatever else. But that's really not the relationship that we have described in the Bible. You know, Jesus is to be the Lord of our life. He's to be the Lord of our life. And we're going to give some of those guidelines right here. And I'm going to read the first part of them. And it's right here as we're looking in 1 Peter chapter 4. Very familiar scriptures for us. But we're going to look at from, I'm going to read from verse 7 through 10. And then I'm going to come back and kind of look at little things here. Verse 7 says, "The end of all things is at hand." That ought to get our attention right there. You know, that the end of all things is at hand. I'm going to read on through and I'll come back to that. Therefore, that's a big word. Then it goes on and says, "Be of sound judgment and sober spirit. Be for the purpose of prayer." And then another big word here, verse 8, is he says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. And then verse 9 goes on and says, it says, "Be hospitable to one another without complaint." And then finally it says here in verse 10, it says, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it." And so I want to just simply say, do you see that? That's really interesting, you know, that you receive a special gift from the Lord, but you're the one that has to employ it. Isn't that amazing right there? You're the one that has to employ it. So do you see that very clearly there? You've got a choice to either walk in it or not walk in it. You know, and so it's very important for us to understand. Do you know how many people miss the calling of God? Huh? You know how many people miss the calling of God? You know, that somehow the evil one so works against them that they miss it, you know, because maybe they can't imagine it, you know, they can't picture it or whatever it would be. You know, I took an aptitude test, you know, back in high school, okay, you know, and about the best that they had to offer for me was that it'd be good for him to be a bricklayer. Nothing wrong with being a bricklayer, but I'll never forget it, right? They wasn't even really recommending to go to college, you know what I'm saying, right? Okay, whatever man has to say about you has got nothing to do with the plans of Almighty God. You know, and we don't serve God based upon natural talents. Now, we take the natural talents that we have and we use them to serve in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a very good thing. That's a very good thing. But not all of the calling of God is based upon natural abilities. You know, there's the supernatural abilities of God. There's the power of God. It's the anointing that comes in the power of the Holy Spirit. And yes, I want you to know that the Holy Spirit wants to bring an anointing upon you. Upon you. The anointing is not just simply for the pastor, for church leaders, for certain designated ones. You know, there's the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that you may be able to serve Him in a supernatural way with giftings that come only from the Holy Spirit. So I want you to note that. Maybe I went ahead and spoke a little bit on that right there. But the important point that I want you to see, it says here again in verse 10, it says, as each one has received a special gift. And then it says, now look at this, employ it, that you're to employ it in serving one another. You know, when you give your heart to the Lord, there are holy demands upon you and me. You know, it's not that church thing. It's not that generic Christian thing. You know, I've got eternity solved. Maybe so. Maybe not so. You know, I've got eternity solved. I'm going to be a good person. I'll go to church. I'll go to church when I feel like it, you know. If I don't feel like it, you know. Now, why don't you do your employer like that and just see how long that works out. Okay, let's just see how long that works. You know, hey, boss, you know, I was up late last night. I just don't want to come in today. I know that'll be all right with you. Okay, you know, and so anyway, I don't think you're going to have your job very long. Okay, you know, but we think we can do God any way we want to do Him. You know, and I want to tell you, you can't, all right? You know, there's a lot of doctrine out there. You know, led you to be any kind of Christian that you'd like to be. You know, you can just go look for it and you'll find it, all right? But you want to be according to the word of the Lord so that you can receive everything that God has for you. You know, that you can find the hand of the Lord, that you can find the power of God, the overcoming way by the Holy Spirit. I don't care what it might be. I want you to know that no matter what it is, that the Holy Spirit will give you power to overcome. He'll give you power to overcome. So I want you to see this. So God's called us to be servants, right? You know, we don't live for ourselves. We live for the Lord. We live for the Lord. You know, and then it says, be good stewards of those things that God's put in your hands. Did you see that? Be good stewards. You know, be a good steward. I'm going to talk about being a good steward of the manifold grace of God that it says there, but I'm going to save it a minute. I'm going to come back up here and go to verse 7 here, and I want to start with the first thing that's said right here, because the first thing is said, everything else is based upon those first statements. And then let me look at it right here in verse 7. It says, the end of all things is at hand. You know, it's important. It's important that we live with a spirit and a heart and a mind and an attitude of keeping eternity in view. Matter of fact, I want to take it a little bit step further. You know, I think we need to educate our families along this line. I think you need to educate children, you know, your children, your grandchildren, you know, and I know it's real hard, isn't it? It's hard to really, you know, for a child, and you remember when you were a child or when you was a teenager, you know, to think about eternity. Yeah, that's a long way off, you know, eternity. You know, there's a lot of people that are on the doorstep of eternity and they think that way. You know, and they're knocking on the doorstep of eternity. It's us, the saints, that, you know, that have a true understanding that we're living for eternity. We live for the Lord, and we're going toward eternity. This life is very, very short. And we need to make our children understand that we don't live for today, that we make our children, our grandchildren understand. You know, I've told my children, and particularly my grandchildren, you know, what I've said to them, because I'm getting older. You know, and here's what I said. I said, I want to talk to you about something. I want to talk to you about when Pawpaw goes on to eternity. You know, and I want you to know the truth. I said, I want you, when you look down in that casket and you see Pawpaw, I want you to know what's going on with Pawpaw at that moment. And I said, I understand the sadness of it and all of being separated, you know, momentarily. And I talk about that too. It's a momentary separation. As we go on and be with the Lord, our children remain, our grandchildren remain. But let's prepare our families for what life is really about. Let's prepare our loved ones for what life is really about. Let's prepare our own hearts as to what life is really about. And it's about following the Lord. It's about loving the Lord. It's about being the servant of God. Then, you know, that's what life is about. You know, and then with that, I've told my grandchildren, I said, I want you to know I'm not there. I'm not there, okay? That's not me, all right? That's not me. That's what remains of me. But I'm with the Lord. I want you to know that. And I'm receiving the fullness of reward in Jesus, you know. And I'll tell you, Pawpaw's going to be up there dancing in ways that Pawpaw don't have the ability to dance right here, okay? You know, so, you know, and the truth needs to be known. It needs to be known. It needs to be declared. You know, you need to make these things known to your family. You need to prepare them for eternity. Don't make it some taboo subject. Right? Oh, we can't talk about death. We can't talk about that day. You know, you're making it harder for your loved ones. That's what you do. You make it harder for your loved ones. You know, but you bless them. You know, when they hear that assurance that you've got, when they hear the confidence of faith, when they see that, you know, Pawpaw's not afraid of death. You know, isn't that kind of strange? You know, because in the world, nobody wants to talk about it. And because this is their life. This is their life. It pains me to see, you know, how people will hang on to life. You know, and, you know, I don't think, you know, we'll go just whenever the Lord wants us to go. And that's my attitude about, you know, leaving this life. You know, but so many do anything and everything, you know, to hold on as this is it. You know, yeah, you know, the consolation is we get to go to heaven. You know, kind of like, you know, well, we're giving up the really good thing right here. You know, I don't want to go to hell. So, you know, praise, you know, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven. Well, maybe you will and maybe you won't with that kind of attitude, right? You know, we're to even cry out, Lord Jesus, come. I think we were singing some songs along that way. You know, and the reason is because this world and this life is not our home. Right? This world, and the evil one wants you to make yourself comfortable in this life and this world as much as possible. You know, one of the great challenges in the church, and we don't like to talk about it really at all, and that is, and we talk about, you know, certain sins and things like, and we should, and all of that. You know, there are a lot of churches that, you know, it's either spoken or maybe an unspoken rule that they don't talk about sin. Do you know that? Right? You know, that's negative. Right? You know, I don't find there's any scripture in the Word of God that's negative to me. If it's in God's Word, I'm talking about that rough stuff, right? You know, even when you get into the rough stuff, you know, it brings soberness to me. Does it to you? You know, brings soberness of heart, you know, and that type of thing. So, you know, there is no such thing as a negative word or a positive word, okay? It's the Word of God. You know, and out of warning, here comes great encouragement. Out of warning should come great encouragement. You know, being politically correct, don't you make no mistake about it, has truly entered into church culture. Being politically correct has very clearly come into church culture. You know, and the gospel remains the gospel for every age. The gospel remains the gospel. You know, when the Word of God says that this is wickedness, guess what? It's wickedness in 2025 too, okay? It's wickedness in 2025 as well. When the Bible says this is sin and evil, then it remains sin and evil. I don't care what anybody wants to call it, you know, anything like that. So we need to be aware, and we have to resist that culture coming into the church. Are you with me there? We have to resist it. We're to be a peculiar people. We're to be a holy people. We're to be a different people in the Lord. You know, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. You know, and it's a mistake for the church to lower its standards and make the church more conducive to the way of the world so that we can attract people, right? You know, this is destruction and a deception. It's destruction and it's a deception. You know, the reason that people ought to be attracted to us is because we're a peculiar people. Because we're different. You're different on the job. They don't hear you talk the way that they talk. They see that you walk away when they start with the jokes, right? They see that you don't engage, right, in laughing at what you'd be ashamed of being seen laughing about here in this building, right? Okay? You know, because we're a different kind of people. We're not trying to blend in. We want to love everybody, and we're not trying to make anybody uncomfortable. If they're uncomfortable, it's not my problem, okay? You do know the Word of God talks about persecution, you know, and the world wants you to blend in, you know, and they'll use all kinds of accusations against you. Like, for example, well, you know, that's not very loving, right? You know that's just a con job, if you want to know. It's a con job for me to say, hey, you need to repent. And, you know, and you need to come out of that, you know, or you're not going to make it. You know, you're on the wrong road for eternity here. Oh, that's so judgmental. No, it's not. No, it's not. You need to do it in the right spirit, right, and in the right heart. But, you know, the Word of God says right here, before it goes on in all these statements, it says very clearly, the end of all things is at hand. Wow. Okay. So do we receive that? You know, and bring up that eternity subject with your family, you know, and with your grandchildren, with your children, with everyone, you know. And because here's what will happen. Here's what will happen after Paul's long gone, okay. And then my grandchildren, I never dreamed that I'd be the age of my grandparents. You know what I mean? Right? Do you ever believe you'd be the age of your grandparents? Right? You know, but woo, right? You know, so, you know, and it's going to come around for them, too. It's going to come around for them, too. They're going to remember Paul's words. You know that? They're going to remember Paul's words. They're going to remember, boy, Paul was prepared. He was prepared. I better get prepared, right? You know, so praise God. You need to understand that. And you need to live your life. You need to resist the way of the world. You know, we talk about particular sins, but a great one that's referred to in Scripture that seems like the church doesn't deal with at all anymore as a whole, and that's called worldliness. You know, James says to be friends with the world is to be an enemy of God. What are we going to do with that? Did you hear what I just said? Look it up. James 4. You know, to be a friend of the world is to be an enemy of God. So, you know, we need to understand, you know, that worldliness is a great destructive way. And so we need to understand the opposite of that is being holy before the Lord. You know, and that's real important. God's still calling His people to be holy. He's still calling these people to be holy. It's not for a select few. It's the pathway that the Holy Spirit has every believer upon. It's a gradual work that takes place of a changed heart and a change from the inside to the outside, right? It's not rules and regulations. Really, it's the very character and nature of God, right? All right, so anyway, as we look at this, so then he goes on and he says this. He says in verse 7, the end of all things is end. And look at this big word right here, therefore. Therefore. You know, that means that that's a call to action. You understand that? You know, it's the end of all things. It's the end of all things. Therefore. You know, he's saying, beloved of God, you take action here. You take action here. And that's what's being declared. And then it goes on. It says, therefore, now look at this. The first thing says, be of sound judgment. I think NIV says, be alert. You know, so being alert. And that's a spiritual condition. That's a spiritual condition, being alert. The opposite of that is being asleep. You know, do you hear that? You know, and that's what weighs in before us in the Lord, is being of sound judgment, being alert, or being spiritually asleep. You know, what will make you fall asleep faster than anything? You know, when you're asleep, you just have no awareness of what's going on, right? Have you ever seen those videos, right? You know, where people at night, right? You know, and they got a video and they got a camera, you know, that's running, and here they are laying there and they're fast asleep. They got their mouth wide open, and here comes a spider, right? Yeah, you ever seen that video? And the spider crawls right up in their mouth and then crawls back out, you know? Look it up, you know? Yeah, yeah, you'll be holding your lips from that point forward at night when you're sleeping. You know, but someone who's asleep is unaware. And one of the greatest dangers to the believer is not simply this sin or that sin, although sin is always an issue that we do not allow to take advantage of us, but a worldly spirit, a worldliness is the great challenge, you know, because you never come into holiness. And there's such power of God that comes in being a holy people in the Lord. And you live a completely powerless life and may even lose your salvation, may I say to you, in worldliness. So it's not just simply a matter of do's and don'ts. It's not just simply a matter of this sin or that sin. There's more to it than that. There's more to it than that. You know, and that is that every believer needs to be aware of that worldly spirit. It's a compromising spirit. It's always causing you to compromise into the way of the world and to be more like them. And the evil one will tell you, well, you'll win more of them being like them. No, you won't. They will change you. You won't change them. Now, this is important because that's very clear in Scripture. You know, do you not know that bad company corrupts good morals? You know, you don't change them by compromising and being more like them. They change you. And then not only do they change you, but you don't even have a witness anymore. All right, so, you know, we see this. It's very clear right here. But this is the foundation of these building blocks. Let me show you right here. So 7 again says, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be of sound judgment and sober spirit. You know, and then it says, for the purpose of prayer. You know, this is where you find the hand of the Lord. This is where you find the hand of the Lord. Wherever you are in prayer, grow in it. Grow in it. Wherever you are in prayer, grow in it. You know, don't box prayer in. Don't box prayer in. You know, prayer is to be a living communion, a living fellowship with the Lord. Where whatever your prayer practices are right now, I want you to understand that you can grow. You can grow into a greater, more effective prayer life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I don't care how long you've been praying. I don't care how long you've been a believer. There's more that the Spirit of God will lead you into the realm of prayer than where you are now. I'm not just saying that to you. I'm saying it to me. You understand? You know, and boy, that ought to create such eagerness for us, right? You know, and the Holy Spirit will teach you how to pray. You know, we were talking a little bit in Sunday school, and we talked about the great connection that is between fasting and prayer, right? The fasting and prayer. You know, fasting is important. I'm just going to say it, okay? You know, fasting is important. You know, Apostle Paul said that I buffet my body and I make it my slave. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul said? I buffet my body and I make it my slave. You know, fasting's almost like antiquated, right? That's for them. No, it's for you and me too. And you start. If you're not used to fasting, start. Right? Fast for breakfast. Right? And make it, even if you got to work, right? Even if you got to work. I don't have too many days that I can just go aside, and fast, I'm working at the same time I may be fasting. Okay? Get that old body, to obey you. Right? Get that old body to obey you, and then let the Spirit of the living God dominate over it. Let the Holy Spirit dominate over it. You'll see victories that you never dreamed of. Don't get condemned now. That's what the evil one loves. He loves for you to say, I'm going to go forward. And that's what this is all about, being a going forward people. I'm going to go forward in the Lord. I'm going to go forward in the Lord. So you're challenging yourself. You're meeting challenges that maybe you've never met before. You're coming up to things, territory that maybe you've never known, whatever it would be. So you have to practice it. This is the way everything in God is even obtained. The way everything in God is obtained is through a practice. You have a heart for it, then you act upon it, and God brings the grace to do it. And that's the word. If you sit back here and say, well, I'll just wait for God to move upon me, you're just going to be sitting there till the day that you go on and be with the Lord, right? This is the way the grace of God comes, right? It didn't fall out of the sky in some mystery. It doesn't fall out of the sky in some mystery. No, what you do is you step over to it. I will be that. I will do that. I will be like that. Oh, let me give him one. Patience, right? Patience, I don't have anything to do with that, patience. Don't pray for it because God might bring it. I'm sorry. He's already going to do it whether you ask him or not. Because it's him. It's his character, right? Anyway, so, when you say, okay, I'm going to be different, and I'm going to have a more loving spirit. Okay, I'm going to have a more loving spirit. Well, then you put your foot over into the practice of having a more loving spirit, right? And as you practice it, then comes the grace to establish you in it. This is how it works. This is how it works. If you could step back here, say, I just wished I had a more loving spirit, I just wished I had a more loving spirit. Oh, yeah, I really do wish I had a more... I'm not doing anything to obtain a more loving spirit, but I sure wished I had one. Those are wishful thinkers that obtain nothing, right? They obtain nothing. This is how the grace of God works, all right? The grace that you see that you need, and God gives you heart for, what you do is that you say, I will be that. So you've established it in your heart. Right? You've established it. I will be that. Because that's God. That's God. That's the way of God. And, this old thing I'm doing is not the way of God. This is the way of God. I will be that. I will be that. Then you step over in it. You step over in it. You get knocked down a few times. You get knocked back a few times. And the evil one will try to condemn you for it. Don't let him. Don't let him. Don't let him. Right? That's part of spiritual warfare, isn't it? He's going to challenge you every step of the way. And don't excuse yourself. Don't excuse yourself. If you're in Jesus, you're expected to be going on the pathway of being like Jesus. Okay? And in the realm of the Spirit, the conformity of you and me into the character and nature and likeness of Jesus. His heart, His mind, His love, His compassion. No, that is being perfected in the life and the heart of everyone who's born again by the Spirit of God. And it's not a work of the flesh. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, so, this is what the Lord is doing. So when you step up, and see you gave your heart to it, and then you step up and say, I will be that. I will be that. I'm going to be that. Because that determination of heart, you've yielded your heart that way. And then you step into it. And here comes that grace. And you know, you fall down a little bit. You fail a little bit. But I'm not going to let go of it because I see it in the Word. It's God. Well, then, what happens is that the Spirit of God is going to perfect you in it. Grace will flow. The attribute of that Spirit, the attribute of that character will flow in you. And then you'll start seeing more victories. You keep on practicing. And why do you practice? Well, that's works, brother. No, it's not. It's heart for. Are you with me? It's not works. It's called a heart for, right? I have a heart for. That's what I want, my desire in Jesus. All right? And so you get not. Now, you got to fight the good fight for the faith. You got to fight the good fight for the faith. And that is that, you know, you got a war on your hands. The evil one wants to discourage you and cause you to back down. And, you know, because you didn't do it perfectly the first time, you know, I'm just so defeated, right? The devil got you. He just got you. He just smacked you up the side of the head real good and said, oh, yeah, condemned you. And you fell for it. And what did you do? You just fell back and you don't do it no more. I can't fast. Oh, yes, you can. You know, and don't bite off more than you can chew. Be practical, right? You know, don't set yourself up for failure. I'm going to fast. Well, I've chosen 30 days. Never fasted in my life, but I've chosen 30 days. I didn't make it past noon. Fasting's not for me. Be more practical. Be a little more practical. Maybe grow in it a little bit, right? Okay. Maybe grow in it a little bit. And you'd be surprised how much grace the Spirit of God will bring to you, you know, as you will grow in that grace. Because that's the way of the Lord. That's the way of the Lord. Okay, now come on, let's look at this again. Because there's a few things I want to close here with. And that is, here we are again for the purpose of prayer. Now you see that? You know, you want to be of sound judgment. And you want to be of sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. And then I love this. Look, so the end of all things is at hand. That was an incredible statement. Now we're in verse 8. Isn't this something? Above all. Well, that's a serious one, isn't it? Right? You know, look at that. That's incredible. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another because love covers a multitude of sins. Wow. Now, you know, the two great commandments that is given to us, and this is the fundamental building block of living the Christian life, is number one, you know, a man came to Jesus, said, Jesus, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus answered, number one is that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul, right? And the second is likewise, you know, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You know, and this is what it is to be found in the love of God. And you understand, you know, that we, again, that grace, we step forward. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to walk in biblical love. I'm going to walk in biblical love that displays the likeness and the character of my God. Right? You know, I want to love you. So, you know, you devote yourself to loving the Lord. And then as you devote yourself to loving the Lord, as you love the Lord, then the Holy Spirit begins to fill you and me with the love of God. And then we find a transforming power that makes us into a different person. It makes us into a different person. You know, and that is that our character begins to become ruled. Our thinking, our ways, our will, our desire, our motivations begin to get transformed. They get transformed because there's an invasion that's flowing into my life called the love of God. You know, it's not idealistic. It's not simply theological. You know, are there activities to it? There are. But it's the intent of the heart to love the Lord. That's the first and foremost commandment. And then what actually happens to you and me and Jesus, can you imagine that God did this for you and me? He says, I tell you, not only have you entered into a new covenant, you know, and now you have entered into sons of God, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give you my spirit. Wow. That you not just simply be called sons of God, 1 John chapter 4, all right, but you become sons of God, not just called sons of God. You know, so the Spirit of the Lord is the one that is working in you and me to bring about this love dominating me, dominating my actions, my thoughts, my will, you know, all these things. This is called power, you know, and it comes in a transformed character and nature. And so we find that by loving the Lord. And then I'll go on because I got a lot more to do with that and say as time goes on. But the second part is that, you know, that you love your neighbor as yourself. You say it's not enough just to love the Lord. You know, it's supposed to be love in action, right? It's supposed to be love in action. You know, and what that does is it gives you a heart for other people, you know, because the Lord begins to fill your heart with His heart, mind, will, and desire. And I can tell you the true value of Almighty God is not making a buck. I mean, may God bless you, right? And we all have to make a living, and may God prosper you. And God wants to prosper you in all things, right? Your bank account, everything. He wants to prosper you in all things. But the true value of God is the souls of men. This is the true value of God, right? You know, we put that in the world, we put it down here. You know, power and money comes up here, all right? And, you know, we'll do this down here, but it's not a priority. It's not a priority. It's a priority with God, okay? It's a priority with God. Right. So, you know, this is part of the. So then we find ourselves by the love of God and loving the Lord. He begins to give me His heart. I find that I don't want to live for myself no more. I don't want to live for myself anymore. You know, I don't want to just be spinning my wheels in, you know, my pleasures anymore. You know, the burden of the Lord comes into your heart. You start loving what God loves. And where that comes is the souls of men. That's why we have to be an outreaching church. That's why we have to be a church, a witnessing church. You know, that's why we have to be a church that moves on out of just simply, you know, the four walls of our church building. You know, and I'll come into this later, but yes, this is to be a love feast. Jude calls it a love feast. Should be. Sometimes it's not, you know, but it's supposed to be, right? You know, and when we let the Holy Spirit rule, then it will be, you know, because it won't be men in their humanistic love, you know, smiling, you know, and, you know, yeah, I love you, brother. You can't stand that man, you know. Right? And then the Spirit doesn't rule the church. Church politics does. Right? That's why people get sick of church, right? You know, because church not behaving the way it ought to be. You know, because it's not being ruled by the Holy Spirit. It's being ruled by men, right? Being ruled by men, you know, and they want to do it man's way, you know. And so this is what happens, and this is not the way. There's to be a glory, a brotherly glory, you know, that comes for us. It's a place of strengthening. It's a place of refreshing. It's a place of finding, you know, support. And it's and brotherly kindness and genuine relationships. But it comes by us going God's way. Right? By us going God's way. Well, amen. Then let me read just a little bit more here, and this is, I'm going to finish right here. And then it says, and I got more to say about this, verse 8, above all, keep fervent. Now, did you see that the Lord has put that in your hands? Do you see that he's put that in hand? Because he puts fervency in your hands, right? You know, but above all, keep fervent. Fervent in what? In your love for one another. Uh-huh. That's put in your hands, my hands, our hands, right? You keep fervent in your love for one another. You know, and that's not lip service, is it? Right? You know, I mean, I'm living for me. You know, I mean, I'm doing my thing, you know, and I don't have time for nobody, but, you know, I sure do love you, brother. Sure do love you. What a joke. What a joke. You know, and a lot of Christians live that way. It's not the way of God. You know, you begin to go out of your way for others, you know, You allow yourself to be inconvenienced, right? Because of you're driven by this holy love of God. All right. And then it says, and finally, this is where I'm going to close this. You know, it says, because love covers a multitude of sins. That's very, very interesting, isn't it? You know, that word cover right there, is the Greek word Caleb. You know, sound like Caleb of the Bible, Joshua and Caleb, but it's spelled K-A-L-U-B. And listen to this, you know, so love covers. Love, what does love do? Love covers a multitude of sins. Oh, what do you mean by that? All right, love covers a multitude of sins. Caleb, the Greek word here for covers, it means a shelter. Isn't that interesting? It's a shelter, and it gives the idea that it's a shelter from harm. Wow. A shelter from, and also it's a veil that separates. Interesting. You know, so you understand that, you know, you're not walking around taking offense to everybody that does you wrong, or even somebody that did you wrong unintentionally. You know, I said hi to them and they didn't even acknowledge me. I mean, I'm telling you right now, church can be a real hellacious place. It can be a real hellacious place. I know. I've been in some of them. Okay? All right? You know, and that's what happens when the Spirit of God doesn't rule. Right? This is what happens. You know, and so what you've got is you've got all these issues going on that are out there in the world in regular organizations, because that's what the church becomes. It's nothing more than an organization. And that's not the church at all. Okay? It's not the church at all. You can have all the 501c3s that you want. You just go right ahead, but you don't have the church because you put a steeple on the roof. Okay? That's not the church. That's not the church. But that's what a lot of times it becomes. We need God's glory. You know, and it starts by us obeying what we should be. Building our lives on these building blocks. Are you with me there? You know, on these building blocks. So love covers a multitude of sins, you know. So, you know, my brother in the Lord, you know, he's got some quirks, right? It's so funny because everybody else has got quirks other than you, right? Don't you wish everybody could be perfect like you are? I say you, I mean me too. All right, you understand what I'm saying, right? You know, so love covers a multitude of sins, right? Love covers a multitude of sins. They bounce off of you, you know, because your motivations are greater. Your motivations are greater. And you got more of the mind of God within you, don't you? Aren't you glad that God gives you mercy? Yes. Whew-wee. Now, I want to say something because it's real important. You know, if you're someone that doesn't give other people mercy, watch out. Watch out. Okay, I'm telling you right now, if you're the kind of person that doesn't give anybody else mercy, you better understand, you know, it shall be measured to you according to your standard. So these are kind of God-fearing things, right? These are kind of God-fearing things. You know, so, and these are practices. You know, when it says love covers a multitude of sin, you'll get plenty of opportunity to practice it. Right? Yes, yes, you will. You'll get plenty of opportunity right here, you know, to practice it. Love covers a multitude of sin. You just get in the habit of saying, God love them. All right, everybody say, God love them. Yeah, you know, and that's the spirit that you're going to walk in, right? You know, everybody say, God love them. God love them. Amen. You know, so praise his holy name. Praise his holy name. Blessed. Will y'all come?